Offside.
Rakete za drone. Ukrajinski predsednik Volodimir Zelenski se trenutno mudi v tako imenovanih zalivskih državah, kjer v okviru svoje zalivske ture sklepa dogovore na področju obrambe oziroma oboroževanja. Ukrajina je tako že podpisala sporazume z oblastmi Katarja, Saudove Arabije in Združenih Arabskih Emiratov. Po besedah Zelenskega v naslednjih tednih načrtuje še podpis dogovorov z Jordanijo, Kuvajtom, Omanom in Bahrajnom. Zaradi imperialističnih napadov na veze ZDA Izrael se zalivske države, ki delujejo kot podaljški imperialistov, soočajo z izzivom prestrezanja iranskih brezpilotnikov tipa Shahed, kakršne uporablja tudi Rusija v vojni z Ukrajino. Ukrajinske oblasti so tako predlagale zamenjavo svojih relativno poceni prestreznikov dronov za drage rakete protizračne obrambe, kakršne trenutno za sestreljevanje dronov uporabljajo zalivske države. Sporazum naj bi, po trenutno znanih informacijah, vključevali tudi krepitev zračne obrambe, skupno proizvodnjo orožja in sodelovanje na energetskem področju. Dogovori predvidevajo sodelovanje za obdobje naslednjih 10 let, vsaka država, ki ima sklenjen dogovor z Ukrajino, pa bo morala kriti stroške izvoza dronov. Zakaj je pripravljenost zalivskih držav za sklenjevanje takšnih dogovorov visoka, pojasni Ben Eris, glavni urednik in ustanovitelj portala BNE IntelliNews.
Saudi had a total of 2,800 of the Patriot PAC-3 interceptor missiles, and it shot 2,400. So they're down to the last few hundred, which means they'll run out in the next week or two. And then they're defenseless. The skies will be open and Iran can hit anything it likes. And they have no capacity to defend. So the obvious solution is to reach out to the Ukrainians. I mean, Zelensky offered Trump last year already a $50 billion deal where he said he would sell Ukrainian drone technology. But the arrogance of the White House, and Trump said explicitly, we don't need your help. And they absolutely do need Ukraine's help. The Gulf states are being a lot more pragmatic. They're like, we need interceptors now. And Zelensky's just been touring the region last week, and he's done deals not just with Qatar, but also with Jordan. And I think he was in the UEA as well. And basically, he's selling everybody interceptors, the Ukrainian drone interceptors. And there's already 200 plus Ukrainian military personnel from drone units who are in the region. And by reports, they've already delivered interceptors, and Zelensky himself claimed that they've already shot down, quote-unquote, hundreds of Shahed Iranian drones.
Ena izmed posledic imperialističnega napada ZDA in Izraela na Iran je tudi ekonomska škoda. Kot pojasni sogovornik, cilji med zalivskimi državami in agresorjema niso skladni, kar je še eden izmed razlogov za hitenje pri podpisu dogovorov z Ukrajino s strani zalivskih držav.
They want to bring the war to an end. I mean, there's a big disparity here between the goals of Israel, the US and the Gulf states. And in the Gulf states' perspective, they've been pushing for stability, prosperity. They've been trying very desperately to diversify away from their dependence on hydrocarbons because peak oil is coming. I mean, everybody knows that. And they need, I mean, they have a certain amount of time in order to do that. And this war is an absolute disaster for them because they were doing quite well. They all have various versions of the Vision 2030, 2050, where they're boosting things like tourism, pharmaceuticals, petrochemical, plastics, just to get away from exporting raw crude oil. And this war has wrecked that entirely. The investment climate has become uninvestable. I mean, there's now a question mark hanging over whether the region will be habitable for humans if they do something like blow up the desalination plants or if they hit the Bush nuclear reactor, which is, you know, something that's been discussed about. You know, some crazy people are even talking about the possibility of using a nuclear weapon in order to bring this fight to an end, because they're doing so badly against the asymmetric power of Iran's missiles and drones. So they're pushing for some sort of negotiated peace deal as quickly as they can.
Sogovornik izpostavlja, da Ukrajina sama proizvaja veliko količino dronov. Pomoč zalivskih držav pa potrebuje predvsem na področju raket dolgega dosega.
The key here is the investment in expanding the drone production. But I think all said and done, I mean, Ukraine is already producing, I don't know, the numbers keep shifting, somewhere between 2 million and 4 million drones a year. And that's a huge number. And as I say, it's made the no man's land between the AFU and the Russian forces a kill zone that no one can go into. So they're kind of already there, and it's already stalemated. And you could argue that, you know, with a couple of billion from the Gulf to expand the drone production, the Ukrainian forces would become more effective. But I don't think, or rather the question is, how much more effective do you need to be to actually give Ukrainian forces a material advantage that allows them to advance? I don't think we're anywhere near that point. What Ukraine desperately lacks is missiles. It has thousands of drones. It makes moving infantry and armor around on the battlefield impossible. But what Ukraine needs to bring Russia down is powerful, long-range missiles, ballistic missiles, to do things. At the moment, they're attacking, for example, in Primorsk and Ust-Luga, they're attacking the Baltic oil ports and reducing the outflows of oil. But they're flying drones up there, not missiles. And they're not enough to destroy refineries completely. They just cause damage and they interrupt the flow. And without these missiles, they can't turn the tide of the war. They can't collapse the Russian economy. They can't destroy the refineries, they can only hurt them. That would cause a very big problem for Russia if Ukraine was able to blow all those things up.
Ukrajina je svetovni voditelj v proizvajanju dronov za razstrelitev, kar je patent, ki ga za obrambo potrebujejo zalivske države.
What you've done is you've negated the power of the Navy to the point where US ships are stood off 3,000 kilometers away from the Straits, knowing that if they went in there, it would be a kill zone and they would be overwhelmed and destroyed by Iranian missiles and drones. The same with the idea of landing troops to take either the islands in the Straits or Kank Island, the distribution islands in the north of the Persian Gulf. But as soon as you put men on those places, they will be slaughtered by drones in the same way that Donbass, if you go into no man's land as a Ukrainian or a Russian, you die because you're killed by drones. It has a 50% kill rate. And the Americans haven't understood the nature of this asymmetric war. So the fact that Qatar and these others are seeking peace, I think is a reflection of their understanding. And the deal with Ukraine in particular is that Ukraine has this technology. It's a world leader in this technology. Particularly what they've developed recently is drone interceptor drones. And these drones are sophisticated enough not only to take down other drones, but also to take down helicopters, jet fighters, and even missiles, which is a significant development. Because everybody has stocked themselves with Patriot interceptors they bought from the US. But the numbers they have in their stockpile were to deal with temporary disruption, a terrorist attack or an uprising or Arab Spring type scenario, and not a full-scale, set-piece, classic, long-term war. And amazingly, they've burned through the bulk of their stocks in 3 weeks.
Sogovornik izpostavlja, da so mnoge zalivske države izčrpale svoje kapacitete zračne obrambe, s čimer se bo odprl zračni prostor za iranske napade na imperialistične podaljške.
Saudi had a total of 2,800 of the Patriot PAC-3 interceptor missiles and it shot 2,400. So they're down to the last few hundred, which means they'll run out in the next week or two. And then they're defenseless. the skies will be open and Iran can hit anything it likes. And they would have no capacity to defend. So the obvious solution is to reach out to the Ukrainians. I mean, Zelensky offered Trump last year already a $50 billion deal where he said he would sell Ukrainian drone technology. But the arrogance of the White House, and Trump said explicitly, we don't need your help. And they absolutely do need Ukraine's help. The Gulf states are being a lot more pragmatic. They're like, we need interceptors now. And Zelensky's just been touring the region last week, and he's done deals not just with Qatar, but also with Jordan. And I think he was in the UEA as well. And basically, he's selling everybody interceptors, the Ukrainian drone interceptors. And there's already 200-plus Ukrainian military personnel from drone units who are in the region. And by reports, they've already delivered interceptors. And Zelensky himself claimed that they've already shot down, quote-unquote, hundreds of Shahed Iranian drones.
Sodelovanje Ukrajine in zalivskih držav sicer ni pogodu ameriškemu predsedniku Trumpu, ki je v zadnjem času popolnoma prekinil finančno in logistično pomoč Ukrajini.
More importantly, that the Ukrainian industrial production capacity for drones is operating well under capacity because they lack investment to expand that capacity. But the factories are there already. The production lines are already working. And so part of this deal is drop a bunch of money on Ukraine in order to rapidly expand the production of Ukrainian interceptors. And that is a question of weeks and months. So this help, this interceptors they need so desperately, are going to arrive very soon, which is exactly what they need. It's already, the Trump administration has already complained. They are unhappy with the Gulf states doing a deal with Ukraine without consulting them. They want to control the process. And MBS, the Crown Prince in Saudi Arabia, they got into a bit of a spat with Rubio, the U.S. Secretary of State, telling him, look, we're driven by our own national interest, and we're sorry you don't like this, but we need interceptors and we can make deals with whoever we want. So for Zelensky, this is a bit of a godsend because he's been abandoned by the Trump administration, but now he's got new allies in the Gulf. And most importantly, very rich allies, because the Ukrainian government is about to run out of money and faces economic collapse in April or June, because it's not getting any money from the States, and the EU has failed to come up with the 90 billion euro loan that they agreed on in December. And so the possibility is Ukraine will now get bailed out by the Gulf states, and moreover, will set up a very lucrative and large defense industry churning out drones in order to arm all of the Gulf states, which is what's going on at the moment.
Ukrajina se je tako začela odmikati od Evropske unije, ki trenutno ne more zagotoviti 90 milijard evrov vrednega posojila. Mađarski premier Viktor Orban je že napovedal veto na omenjeno posojilo, prav tako mu glasno nasprotuje Slovaška. Po izgubi zavezništva z Združenimi državami in Evropskim blokom se Zelenski nadeja pomoči zalivskih držav.
On the battlefield, the money that they'll get from the Gulf will allow them to stay in the war. As I say, they were about to run out of money completely. They wouldn't be able to pay neither teachers nor soldiers in April, June. And so the money is probably coming now from the Gulf if it doesn't turn up from the EU, which will keep them in the game. Zelensky just told his cabinet to plan for 2 to 3 years more of war. So he's assuming he's going to get funded somehow. And that's the big difference, is just to keep them. I think what's going to come out of this, it'll keep. It's another source of funding that Ukraine desperately needs that's going to come out of this. But militarily, in terms of, you know, firepower, it'll help, but I don't think it'll make a definitive difference. I think they're happy. Like, Europe is in a really bad place when it comes to Ukraine, and you can see the disunity growing. So always, you know, there's been Fico and Orban in Hungary and Slovakia, who have said, you know, this war is stupid and we should go back to doing business. But we're now hearing the same sentiment from more and more people. Kalas was just in Kiev yesterday, and she was hinting at the fact that this 90 billion EU loan is not going to happen. And she was hinting at the fact that it's not just Hungary and Slovakia who are objecting to it. And De Vive, the Belgian prime minister, came out openly and said, this war is pointless, it's never going to end, we should stop it, we should get into talks with Russia. And specifically, he said we should restart the imports of commodities and gas from Russia because our economic model is broken, which is new and pretty extreme. So given, you know, if the EU is desperately, or at least the executive in the Commission has been desperately trying to raise money to fund Ukraine, and it's failing, this 90 billion is not going to appear because Orbán has vetoed it. And without that money, then the EU is helpless because Trump's walked away already since he took over. The US has sent zero money to Ukraine since, and almost no arms either. And the EU hasn't got the money because it's basically an economic crisis, and it hasn't got the military industrial capacity to arm Ukraine with what it needs either.
Združene države Amerike niso več glavni akter, kar se tiče izdelovanja najbolj napredne in sofisticirane vojaške opreme. To je očitno zlasti pri razvijanju dronov, kjer je Ukrajina zaradi praktičnih izkušenj zadnjih 4 let prehitela ZDA. Po mnenju sogovorca si prav zaradi tega tudi zalivske države želijo povezovanja. Več Eris.
The US has not invested, neither has Europe actually, into expanding its defense production. So, for example, like these key PAC-3 Patriot missiles, the US only makes 600 of them a year. And we, as I mentioned before, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has already fired 2,500 of them in 3 weeks. And even if the investment goes in, they're talking about doubling it to over 1,000 interceptor missiles a year. But that's just not good enough. I mean, as I say, the face of war has changed entirely. And so the States is no longer a security guarantee in the sense that it supplies you with state-of-the-art weapons nobody can stand up against. That we're in a new world. And suddenly, Ukraine is the preeminent power in terms of defense industry because of its cutting-edge drone technology. So I can see a very deep and long-lasting relationship building up between Ukraine and the Middle East, based on their need to re-equip, re-arm for the modern world, their entire defenses, which means drones. Of course, Russia can play this game too, because Russia's drone technology is equal to that of Ukraine. So I'm pretty sure that Russia also has good relations with everybody in the Middle East. They've been backing Iran in the same way that Europe and the States has backed Ukraine, because they don't want to see Russia take over Ukraine and have this, like, you know, unsinkable battleship on their eastern borders. And for the same reason, Russia attacked Ukraine didn't want NATO to have this unsinkable battleship on its borders.
ZDA se v Trumpovem drugem mandatu dodatno predstavljajo kot vodilne v svetu in želijo na vsak način prevladati nad Kitajsko. Njihov imperialistični napad je tako po mnenju sogovorca treba razumeti tudi v luči nadzora nad dostopom do nafte.
I think the options everyone else has are pretty limited. Under the new Ayatollah, what you had was you decapitated the government with the old Ayatollah, who was pragmatic, although very anti-American. But what you've done is replaced it with the IRGC and the Ayatollah's son, Khamenei Jr., who's even more hardline. And they've taken a very hard stance. They're basically saying, we won't give up, and we're prepared to sacrifice everything. We're prepared to sacrifice the economy. We're prepared to allow you to bomb our power sector, and what we will do with each of these attacks is we will respond in kind in multiple force. And if you take out our power stations, we're going to smash the power grid for the entire region. And I don't think these are idle threats. This is an existential war for Iran. For Trump, it's just another attempt to take over control of oil, with his maximalist energy dominance policy. And I think the American plan was to go in and actually take military control of the Strait of Hormuz. Because another aspect that's emerging from Trump's foreign policy is he wants to use energy access as a stranglehold over China. China has a stranglehold over the States in the form of control of critical minerals and rare earth metals, which will scupper the U.S. tech sector. And Trump's answer to that is to take control of oil flows. So they already took control of Venezuela, which exports nearly all its oil to China. And I think the plan here was to take control of the Strait of Hormuz, as again, 90% of the oil going out of the Gulf is going to China.
Kljub zavezništvu med zalivskimi državami in ZDA se prvo omenjene zaradi Trumpovih naglih odločitev odločajo za iskanje novih partnerstev, kar je voda na mlin Ukrajini.
Apart from grain, which is important, Ukraine doesn't have much to offer these other countries. However, this defense relationship that's rapidly unfolding now, that's a solid relationship. That's something that the Gulf states will take very seriously. Because the problem with the States is they've bought a ton of weapons from the States, and also they buy them from Russia. But the Trump administration has shown itself to be, A, so fickle and unreliable that it's not a good idea to put all your eggs in that particular basket.
Združevanje zalivskih držav in Ukrajine tako ustreza obema stranema, a se zdi, da bo uspešno le toliko, kolikor bo svojim imperialističnim podaljškom to pustil Donald Trump. Offside je pripravil Petek.